Welcome to this week's Some Other Scotland headline newscast with me, Mick Bourdais. In Scotland's news this last week, week two of 2009, Big Freeze closes schools. Freezing temperatures over the weekend led to 15 Highland schools being closed due to burst pipes. Raven killing laws loosened. The number of newborn sheep and cattle being attacked by the country's population of ravens, which are the biggest species of crow found in the UK, have led to restrictions on shooting the birds being relaxed. A licence is still required, but the limits on culling have increased. Ravens were once protected in Britain because they acted as a natural means to dispose of waste food, but this protection was lifted as they became considered vermin. Kids flee school blaze. A workshop fire near Wick High School caused the staff and children to evacuate their building until the fire service arrived to extinguish the fire, which turned out to have been caused by a piece of equipment setting light to a pile of sawdust. Nobody was near the fire and pupils were able to return to classes after only 20 minutes. Bridge climber locked up. The Forth Road Bridge was closed for an hour as an Edinburgh man climbed the bridge until being taken into custody by Fife Police. Traffic was diverted to the Kincardine and Clackmannanshire bridges. Police on hunt for sex attacker. Two women were attacked in the west end of Glasgow within the space of 20 minutes, leading police to believe the incidents are linked. They are currently examining CCTV footage from the Annisland Cross and Crow Road areas and have described the attacker as being a tall, well-spoken man in his late 20s, carrying a blue plastic bag. Both women were reported to be unharmed, but in a state of shock. SNP ignoring free swimming promise. Labour claim the SNP have failed to deliver on their promise of free swimming for Scottish children. In response, Health Secretary Nicola Sturgeon said, "We are 20 months into a four-year term and are working through our manifesto." Labour spokesman Frank McAveety claims that only two of the 32 councils in Scotland currently provide free access to public swimming pools for the under-16s. Graveyard ghouls stealing wreaths. Grampian police have appealed for information about a series of thefts from graveyards in the Moray area over the course of the week. A number of people have reported stolen wreaths as well as damage to headstones. Some Other Scotland by Mick Bourdais. Episode 2. Craig really didn't see what the fuss was about. He'd never understood the importance of anniversaries. Birthdays were just a way to measure how old he was, as far as he was concerned, while celebrations like Christmas and Hogmanay appeared, to him, quite simply ridiculous. Why would anyone celebrate the birth of somebody who died hundreds of years ago? Or throw a party just because the date changed? He wasn't some Scrooge-like figure, pouring scorn on those who did enjoy the festivities. Indeed, he had been to at least four parties over the last few weeks that had been thrown for just those reasons. Parties were to be enjoyed, he thought, for the company, the entertainment, and the fun to be had. Why did people feel the need to find excuses for themselves before they could let their hair down? He was only here today at the insistence of his sisters, Sarah and Katie. They kept nagging at him until he finally agreed to accompany them to the graveside. He had been a regular visitor to the cemetery for the last year, usually visiting the grave on a Friday evening on the way home from work, but occasionally he would have an extra visit when he wanted to talk about a person who had annoyed him that day, or how his latest project was taking shape. It was 1 year to the day that his mother had slipped into a peaceful, final rest, with Craig sat by the side of her bed. He had been telling her the story of the day that he'd found little Ronnie Barton in the drainage tunnel near the base. That was one of her favourite stories, her brave boy coming to the rescue. She left with a gentle smile on her lips. Craig had known her time had come because she never fell asleep listening to his stories. She would always tell him what a lovely voice he had, that it reminded her of his father, and squeeze his hand before closing her eyes and finally slipping off to sleep. His sisters had travelled up the previous day to spend some time with her little brother, both feeling guilty that the last time they'd seen him was at the reading of their mother's will. Katie lived in Bristol with her partner Kyle and their two boys, Josh and Lucas. She ran a small recruitment company in the city centre, which had been growing rapidly until the last year when she found herself with a large number of clients to place, but a shortage of vacancies to fill. She thrived on the city life and found it hard to adjust when returning to Lossie. As a result, her visits home dwindled in number over time, so that she'd only seen Craig 3 times in the last 5 years. Sarah, living almost a mirror image of Katie's contemporary urban lifestyle, had based herself in Fort William. She had made the 2-hour journey home every month while their father was alive. She looked up to him and thrived in his attention, even in her 50s, and despite the fact that he made little effort to disguise the fact that Katie was his favourite. When he'd been losing his battle with Alzheimer's, she had been there, visiting every week, taking him out of the house to give her mother a rest, treasuring every minute with him as she watched his personality dissipate, until he lost all recollection of who she was. Her visits had only tailed off in the last couple of years, as she found herself getting into an increasing number of arguments with her mother over the most trivial of matters. Their temperaments were too much alike, and, unlike Craig, who could do no wrong, Sarah struggled to find anything her mother approved of in her own life choices. Craig walked between his 2 elder sisters, guiding them between the rows of graves towards their mother's final resting place. He stopped and pointed to the row where she was buried. "That's it over there. I'll wait for you here," he said to his sisters. "Aren't you coming, Craig?" asked Sarah. "No, I'm okay. I see her all the time. You have some time with her first. She'd like that. I left her some flowers yesterday, so she'll not be upset. I'll come over in a wee while." Sarah gave a smile, nodded and headed off towards the plot, pausing for a moment to tug on her sister's sleeve and indicating that she should join her at the graveside.
"I hate the way he does that," Katie said to her sister as they walked. "It's as though he thinks she's still alive. Kind of creepy, no?"
"No, he's always been like that. He just sees the world differently. It's refreshing."
"Huh, that's great coming from a veggie hippie who's more interested in auras and chakras than what's going on in real life," Katie scoffed. "And what is a chakra anyway?"
Sarah said nothing, but gave her sister a look that clearly signalled she would not answer a question that would only be mocked. She had experienced her fair share of that from her sister, among many others, over the years, and did not consider this to be a suitable time or venue for a further round of teasing and subsequent argument. She could never understand why Katie kept her mind firmly shut against anything outside her regulated, statistically perfect urban lifestyle, but over time she had learnt to simply accept that her sibling would be unlikely to ever embrace the idea of her alternative therapy centre. They arrived at the grave, and both stood in silence, staring at the headstone. Craig walked up and down each row of graves, starting at the far corner and working his way towards his sisters. He read many of the names on the headstones, wondering if he would see any he might recognise. What he found instead was a young woman, about the same age as himself, sitting slouched down on a plot with what appeared to be a freshly cut headstone, sobbing as she sat in the wet grass and stared into the distance. She looked up at him and said,
"Who would do such a thing?"
Craig looked back at her, the expression on his face reflecting his lack of understanding.
"I'm sorry, what's wrong?"
"They've taken the wreath I left yesterday. How could they? And look at the stone," she answered.
He did as she asked. There was nothing written in the headstone. It was completely clear of any writing, as pristine as a slab sitting in a stonemason's yard.
"Why would anybody do that? He was a good man. He loved his family, lived for the kids. Why?"
she asked again. Craig could think of no answer.
I don't know. I really don't. Was he your dad?" he asked.
"No. My husband. Shot down in Iraq last year. God, I miss him so much. And now this..."
She gestured towards the gravestone, shaking her head as she did so, tears trickling down her cheeks. Digging into his pocket, Craig pulled out a small packet of tissues he'd brought in case Katie or Sarah ended up in tears, crouching down to offer one to the girl. She returned a half-hearted smile, wiped her face, and clambered to her feet, standing uneasily on the grass.
"Thank you,"
she said to Craig.
"You're welcome.
Can I get someone for... he started to ask before being interrupted by Sarah, who was striding, almost running towards him at a pace, her face red and mascara smeared all over her cheeks.
Craig, you've got to come and see this. Someone has defaced the grave. Mum's grave, she said,
her words slowed as she noticed the upset on the face of the woman he'd been talking to, and followed his gaze to the blank headstone in front of them. She clapped her hand to her mouth, only letting it slip down to say,
"Oh, my God.
That's the same, Craig. That's what's happened to Mum's grave.
What's going on?"
"I don't know, Sarah, but we need to tell the police. They're just up the road."
"Right, let's get Katie and drop in on them," she said.
Katie stared vacantly at the empty headstone in front of her, apparently in shock. Here she was, her first visit to the grave since the day of the funeral, and this was happening, she'd been thinking when she heard her siblings approach.
"Come on, Kate, we need to go and see the police," said Craig.
We can call from here, can't we? What's the number?" she asked as she pulled out her mobile phone.
"I don't know. It's in the phone book," he said.
"Don't you have it programmed into your phone? You must have to call them for work sometimes, don't you?"
"Yes, but I have the number written beside the phone. I don't have a mobile, Kate. I never needed one."
Okay then. You two go. I want to stay here for a bit longer," she said.
Sarah and Craig walked off towards the exit of the cemetery, a combination of rage and disgust driving them to overcome their upset at what had happened. Craig sat in the back seat of Katie's hire car, angled such that he sat behind Sarah's seat, extending his legs into the area behind Katie's seat, the little Renault not being designed for his bulky 6'5" height. They were heading back towards his flat in Elgin, shrouded in silence, each one flailing in an ocean of confused thoughts about that day. An event that had started out as a family coming together to respect their mother had ended in a police search, tears, and raw emotions. They discovered, upon reporting the incident to the police in Lossiemouth, that there had been a number of similar incidents across the area to the south of the Moray Firth. At the time of reporting, the police were aware of at least 4 other cemeteries affected by a very select form of vandalism, which involved the theft of flowers from gravesides and the associated removal of epitaphs from those same gravestones. These were the cases known of, because distressed relatives had contacted the police, but there was a good chance that more would become apparent in time, as only 3 or 4 graves were affected at each site. The police had followed Sarah and Craig back to the cemetery to gather evidence, where they came across a 3rd grave that had been wiped clear of writing. This one would most likely never have been reported, as the stone had, from its appearance, been there for well over a century. That seemed to rule out any sort of victimisation or motive for the attacks, but it prompted a number of questions in Craig's mind. For a start, why wipe a few graves in different cemeteries and not just attack more in one place? Were the culprits disturbed? Or were these just random events linked only by the nature of the attack? Then there was the issue of how to remove the writing from a gravestone. Craig had seen the way that words were carved into other gravestones in the cemetery. Not lettering that could be removed easily by scraping off or being chipped away at. Some form of masonry equipment must have been involved in the defacing, slicing enough stone away from the front of the memorials to leave not the slightest trace of the original message. But then, how much noise and mess would that have created? They left the police working on at the cemetery, having been advised that they would be back in touch as soon as any information was available. Katie had been booked to return home the following day, returning the car to the airport at Inverness after a night in a hotel by the riverside. But she was so shaken by the day's events that she broke down in tears as soon as Sarah mentioned the travel arrangements. It was clear she was in no fit state to travel the next day, so they agreed she would spend the night at Craig's flat. It only had 1 bedroom, but there was a bed sofa in the sitting room that would do the job. The only other thing she would require, apart from a sleeping bag, would be a bottle of brandy, she told them. The music from this podcast is from the track No Strings Attached by The Lunacy Board, who can be found at www.lunacyboard.com. The podcast is produced under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 license, which means, in a nutshell, that you can copy it ad infinitum, email it to your friends, stick it on your webpage or your MP3 player or iPod, anything you like. Just so long as you don't change it in any way, you don't make money from it, and you let people know where it has come from originally. someotherscotland.podbean.com.